Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass in Atlanta, Georgia. Today is September the 16th, and with me in the studio today is Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Sam. How are things in your world?
We're doing well. Busy as little bees, but we're doing well. Brad is a little behind schedule today, running late. He'll be joining us a little later. But joining us as our guest host today is Erica Collins. She is the Director of Business Development for Peachford Hospital. Good morning, Erica.
Good morning, fellas.
How are you?
Good.
Good.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
Well, we're glad you're here. We're always glad to have someone who's willing to join us. Sometimes that becomes difficult. Well, we just jump right into it, Erica, if you don't mind. Let's start with you telling us a little of your background.
Sure.
And we'll move on from there.
Terrific. Well, I hail from Michigan State. My undergrad degree is in communications, and then my master's in healthcare administration and marketing from Loyola. And I really got my start at the University of Chicago Hospitals, where I started in medical staff and working with programs and services there. I moved to Atlanta, oh gosh, now 14 years ago, and trying to find a job that had a blend of my sales experience and my healthcare degree was a little difficult. And I interviewed for this job at Peachford Hospital, and my role was to help fill the beds of a psychiatric facility, which I knew nothing of. And I thought, how can there be this many sick people who could fill a 184 bed at that time hospital? And lo and behold, 13 years later, we're 246 beds, and today we're full. So it tells me that there's such a need in the community, and our facility helps so many people who don't know where to go when they need help.
That's interesting. I guess where we better do is build a foundation about Peachford. And then I'm going to ask a question.
Sure.
To be answered down in the road.
Absolutely.
Why the growth, as you just spoke of?
A lot of reasons.
Okay.
Let me start about Peachford a little bit. We're a full patient, inpatient hospitalization for behavioral health, substance abuse, pretty much anything under the sun. What we can't treat is anyone who has a lot of medical complications. We are not a typical med-surg facility where you go for wound care or heart attacks. We are strictly a psych and substance abuse hospital. We are considered a 1013 receiving facility, which is an emergency receiving facility. What's really unique about Peachford is we treat children starting at the age of 4, and we go through senior adults. So we treat every aged population and pretty much any diagnosis under the sun that relates to mental health and substance abuse. So we see it all. We treat it all. We are considered an acute facility, which means our patients aren't there for a long length of time. They're really there to help get out of the crisis that they're in, really try to help them get stabilized. Typically, we're administering medication so they can become calmer, function a little bit better, and work on their treatment plan, meaning their discharge planning on what the next step is going to be.
So it is not, as you said, I don't know how to say this. It's not long-term treatment for cure, but
right,
it's basically to eliminate the forest fire.
Correct. It's not long-term. There are residential facilities and other places that, if you're looking for a longer-term solution, are more appropriate. We really are considered, oh my gosh, I've got a crisis. Where do I go? It's 2:00 in the morning. Peachford would be the place.
Yeah. Very interesting. And as you began, you talked about the growth of from the 184 to the 246 beds.
Correct.
Obviously, there's a need.
There is.
Can you tell us why?
Oh, my gosh. I think there's a lot of reasons. One, I think the advocates are doing a terrific job in getting the word out that it's okay. It's okay to get help. We recently did a program with Herschel Walker, and Herschel Walker had a diagnosis where he had anger issues and he had dissociative disease. And so he came and he spoke. And what he basically said is, it's okay to ask for help. There's nothing wrong with it. Seek treatment when you need it. And I think that's become a big, big part of it is it's okay to say, I'm not right and I've got something going on and I need that assistance. So the awareness is definitely one part.
Yeah, interesting. When you were speaking there, the first thing that comes to my mind is, well, okay, how does someone figure out that they have a disorder or something that they need help? I mean, you know, a lot of what I experienced, this is just normal. Let's move on.
Well, either it's a loved one saying, you know, your behavior is erratic. You've changed. I see that you're not able to take care of your daily living. You can't, you know, bathe yourself. You can't keep your hair brushed. You're disheveled. Your clothes are not kept. It could be with our child and adolescent population. You've got them in the classroom. The teacher is seeing that they can't sit still in the seat and they've been withdrawn. Things that they were liking to do before, sports or extra activities after school, they've withdrawn from. With the elder population, a lot of it's, you know, they're not able, they're anxious, they can't drive, or they're not able to balance things. They can't organize their life. They can't put a meal on the table. They get lost. So there's a lot of different reasons why the light bulb comes out. But a lot of times it's someone recognizing from the outside, something's changed.
You know, it's interesting, both as the young child, as you mentioned, and the elder, especially a male, a young male, being fidgety in the classroom. Mm-hmm. I mean, where do you draw the line as to what's normal and what's not? And I guess there's no science
to that. It's hard to tell. I mean, sometimes it's just watching, are they able to keep their grades up? Are they able to refocus? Is it once the teacher says, you know, excuse me, Johnny, pay attention, he can refocus. You know, my brother said to me, all of us years ago probably would have been considered having ADD or ADHD. But now they're so quick to label. And that's what I don't like is because they're just a little disruptive and it is a boy, oh, they've got ADD or they've got ADHD. That's not true. That's when you bring in the counselor and you get an evaluation.
They would not only had me on drugs, they had me in the straitjacket. Yeah. I mean, because I can remember being in class. And you know, I wasn't a hoodlum, but I what are we going to do today to get this teacher upset?
Right.
I mean, we did it deliberately.
Right. Yeah.
And that was just being a stupid, non-developmental frontal lobe male is what that was.
You know, I think a big thing with a child and adolescent population, in particular with adolescents, it's also all the social media. You know, what's available to them now as compared to what was available to us, it's so different. And that's what we see is so much of the anxiety with kids, the peer pressure that parents put on. You've got to get an A. You've got to be in the band. Yeah. You've got to be in the play. You have to be a star athlete. And I think parents don't know how to be a parent first. They want to be their friend. And there's a fine line between being a parent and being a friend.
Well, I can tell you, and again, we've kind of deviated from where we want to be, but that is so true. Mm-hmm. I mean, I recognize what you're saying, and I think it's absolutely ridiculous that we, society, demand that these students perform at the level they do today.
Right.
I mean, for instance, I mean, Lee knows this. I have a son that's a senior, and you know, you start looking about going to college. You try to get into UGA, and if you don't have a 3.8 with a 29 or a 30 on an ACT, you don't get in. And I wouldn't have been able to go to community college based upon that.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, I know it is. I know it is. But similarly, actually, with the senior adult population, a lot of the families that are caring for these senior adults are at a loss of what to do when there's a change in behavior. They feel like, I've got to care for my mom and dad at home. I promised them that I would take care of them. And it gets to a point where they can't. And that's sometimes where Peachford comes in, and they're able to help families who know, gosh, I can't care for my dad anymore. He's not taking his meds. He's becoming aggressive. What do I do? Peachford's a really good place for to say, dad, we're going to do a medication evaluation. Let's find out what's going on with you. They take a visit at Peachford. We're able to say, he's not appropriate to go home. He can't take care of himself. You can't leave him alone. He may leave the stove on. He may leave the oven on. He's not appropriate to be at home. That's where you need another level of care. So a lot of families use Peachford to say, take a time out. What are we going to do with mom or dad the next phase of their lives? So,
like a third-party assessment.
Exactly.
To kind of give them a direction to go from that point forward.
Exactly, because they don't know what to do, and they feel this obligation, the sense of, it's my mom, and she's cared for me all my life, and it's my turn to take care of her, but I can't.
Right, but you're kind of getting them off the hook because it isn't their call anymore. It's like,
look, ours.
It's not me saying this. It's Peachford. They're experts. They see this every day.
It's a physician coming in, doing an evaluation, working with our case manager and saying, time out. They can't take care of themselves. You work full time. Who's home with them?
Right.
If you're not getting someone in 24 hours home health care, you need to look for another level of care for them. And that gives them kind of the, whew, take that
right,
off my plate.
They're off the hook.
They're off the hook.
Now, can you share the spectrum of age, like you mentioned, from young to old? Like, what's the percentage of each at Peachford at any given time?
Oh, okay. Well, you know, first of all, it's kind of hard to say when I say senior adult. My mom is, you know, 76 years old, and she would not be considered a senior adult because she plays tennis 4 days a week. She still sells real estate. So that spectrum we have on senior adult, you know, we'll have someone that's 45 with an early onset of dementia or frontal lobe dementia, and they're 45 years old, and that's scary. So, you know, we treat our main population is probably the adult population. You know, I would say...
like from 18 to 40s?
No, I would say more like 28 to mid-40s. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got some with the first break of schizophrenia. We've got adults who may have lost their job. I think that's another trigger to why we started becoming more popular for treatment was a lot of people losing their jobs
right,
and not
stresses,
knowing what
the,
that
right.
stress is can be unbearable. So
that's like, say, 60% of
I would
the
say,
population?
I would say, yes, close
20%
to 60%.
Older and 20% younger?
Yeah, child and adolescent, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of dynamics that are contributing to this, and you've touched on them. I certainly understand the idea that a mental disorder or behavioral disorder is now more readily accepted.
Right.
Let's do this. And it doesn't have the stigma that it once did.
Right.
The dynamics of the family today, where, as you said, the children are working, and so who's going to be home with mom or dad
right.
in the home? I mean, that is a great issue. And as you said, too, this I put down behavioral stress. I mean, excuse me, professional stress. And, you know, it's one thing to go work, as my parents did, go work for a major corporation and spend 45 years
right.
there and retire. I mean, there's stability. But in today's environment where that happens every 3 years now, there's no stability.
Right.
There's no security.
There is no security, and I think people are finding also that they're at a loss of, okay, I've got to now be financially responsible for putting my parents in a home, and they can't afford it.
They can't do it. Yeah.
They can't do it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of factors, but you know, we've really seen that population increase, which is good, and they're getting the help that they need. You know, and the medications now are so much better than they were years ago. The other piece that you really have to consider when you're dealing with the senior adult population is they also have a lot of medical issues when they're brought into the facility. So we have an internist that works specifically with that population to ensure if they're on a high blood pressure medication, making sure that if there's a psychotropic med that's being administered, that there's no interaction between those two drugs to make sure that they're going to capitalize on whatever medication is being prescribed.
This kind of taps into my past experiences. I was speaking to you before the broadcast. We in this nation today have no absolute senior informational, centrally located informational sources when it comes to our medical issues.
Right.
Contrary to what people think. And whatever reason, I'm not going to get into the reasons why we don't. We just don't have it. So when an individual comes to Peachford and they're in the crisis, and someone's going to say, okay, tell me what treatments or what medications, mm-hmm. and you get this laundry
right.
list. Who looks at this list mm-hmm. and says, wait a minute, this medication and this medication don't go well together.
Right.
I mean, someone at some right. point needs to be responsible for that.
Right. We kind of have a team approach. So if someone comes in, typically if someone is familiar with Peachford, they'll come in with a bag of their medications. They will literally come in with their pill bottles lined up. And so we look at them. Others will come in with
what's
a list.
What's the most number of bottles you've seen?
Probably 30.
I've seen 27.
Wow.
Big Ziploc bag. Some of them come in.
Even if you're in perfect health, how could you remember to keep track
right.
of all that?
Well, and it's not only the numbers, it's then are you compliant?
Right.
And so what happens is you've got all of these and you might forget to take one and you take a double dose of a second one thinking it was the one, you know.
Right.
Did you
remember to take the morning or the
afternoon? Right. Well, and that's what happens in particular with the senior adults. I mean, my grandmother was a perfect example. She would get up in the morning, she'd have her coffee, we'd lay her medication out for her, she would take it. She'd go back to bed, and this is someone who was trying to live on her own. She'd go back to bed. She'd sleep for an hour, thinking that she slept for 6 hours.
Right.
It was
and
time,
now
for,
it's
her
time for the next one.
Right. And so an hour later, she's taking the same medications that she just took. So she was she wasn't able to walk function. She was falling down, and it was just something where if that's not regulated, you're in big trouble.
But you're just increasing the chances for error by prescribing 20-something medications.
Well, and again, that goes back to and again, you know, this is a very complex subject.
Right.
It has to do with a one-payer, one-coordinator system versus not. I mean, I told you, Lee, 20 years ago, we recognized this, and as an industry, we tried to get this repository. Well, the problem is that you and I don't want a single source of this information. We don't want someone accessing all
your information,
healthcare, and saying, oh, he was a drug addict or whatever it may be. We don't want that.
Right.
So it's a mixed bag, and you've got to find a way in the middle to accommodate. And we're really struggling with that right now.
Well, I think my mother went through a situation when she had 20-something medications, and I go to the doctor, how come when you prescribe something, you never take something away? Like, it's always more.
You just add.
Like, they're never removing.
Again, stop and think about our – again, here we are, but it's good. Stop and think about our where we are. We live in a free market system, and I think most people really want that. You've got one physician mm-hmm. that you're seeing prescribing, and he doesn't really know what physician B is prescribing unless you're very, very good
meticulous about
telling him that. And then many times, we don't use the same pharmacy. We'll use multiple dispensing organizations,
right.
So they don't know. I mean, the one thing, and I was a PBM manager, but one thing I've come to understand, the best thing you can do, find a good pharmacy.
One pharmacist. Right?
And they're really good at that. And if you do that...
Well, they can catch, like, oh, you can't have these two together.
Right.
Like, I mean,
well, and they'll call the physicians to say, you need
time
to know
out.
This.
Right.
Well, and similar, and getting back to your question, how we look at it, Peachford, that's what we do, is we get our pharmacists involved, we get our internists involved, and our internist is very good at pushing back on our psychiatrist to say, that medication is a counterindicator for the medication they're on for their gallbladder disease.
Yeah, the heart
or their,
disease.
Yes.
Right.
So, you know, it really is. And a lot of times that's what we're getting patients to Peachford for is med management is, oh my gosh, my mom is on 30 medications. Her behavior is erratic. It's got to be related to maybe the meds that she's taking. So we kind of strip them of what they're taking and start over and add it back in to say, oh, she's leveled out with just this type of medication. She doesn't need this anymore. As you age, your body metabolizes drugs differently.
Right. The same dosage may not make sense anymore. That's the thing that caught it for my mom was I was getting notes from her and her handwriting was
shaky.
You couldn't even read it. And I'm like, what's going on? Because on the phone, I couldn't tell. She lived in Florida. And so I couldn't tell. But then seeing her handwriting, I'm like, something's not right. And then I got into... And then I went to my pharmacist. I go, give me the list. I go, went to a pharmacist here, and I go, does this make sense?
Right.
It's like one of the drugs caused her to have high blood pressure, which she never had in her whole life. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, now she's taking blood pressure medicine
to take
care for the side effect. You know, it's surreal.
Well, and to be honest with you, a lot of the elder population, they don't.
They don't push back.
They don't push back.
They
That's
think
exactly
the doctor is the genius.
They think the answer,
whatever
right.
he says is the right answer.
Well, and again, I agree. I concur. But we're not trained to do that. We look at doctors, or we historically have looked at doctors. These guys historically have been the best of the best.
Right.
They go to school for 4 years undergraduate, 4 years med, and probably somewhere between another three to seven years after that. So we view them as all-knowing.
And they're not.
They're humans. But the problem also is we look at that educational background, and look, I came out of health sciences. I know it. But I look at my educational background. I can't put this together.
I mean,
I look at it, and I was telling, again, Lee knows, I've got a lot of experience in this. And I look at some of the stuff now when it comes to medication and treatment plans, and I have no idea what they're talking about.
Well, and that's why you have to, you know, try to educate these senior adults to ask questions, go in with written questions on what the medication is for, how often you take it, what if I'm on this? Because so many of them are not just seeing a general practitioner. They've got somebody for their, Parkinson's. They've got somebody for their heart disease. They've got somebody for rheumatoid. So they're seeing a bunch of different types of providers, and those providers typically are not talking with one another.
I don't know if you can answer this. I kind of just wanted your opinion of the number of, let's say, seniors that come in. How But what percentage of them have this med management issue?
Yeah, I mean, over half of them. Yeah,
I'm sure to some degree they all have something,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you know, the other thing too that with some of our population, including the older population, is if they have acute depression where they're constantly revolving door on different medications trying to mask their depression or to treat their depression, you know, it gets to a point sometimes that no medication is going to actually do the job. Okay. So we actually do electroconvulsive therapy, which is considered ECT. I was mentioning it to you earlier, and that helps a lot of patients who are severely depressed, who can't get up in the morning. It what I like to call, it's like rebooting your computer. It's non-invasive, and a lot of times we're using it at the beginning of patients who are elderly and they have the signs and symptoms of Alzheimer's or dementia. It helps to slow the process down. Certainly there's no cure, but it does help slow the process down, and we're using that for patients who are cyclically in Peachford. They're in and out, and they just can't seem to find a medication, or they're not compliant with their medication, which is what we talked about before. They just can't remember to take it, or there's no one around to monitor to remind them to take it. So it often is a treatment modality that we use for patients, and it definitely is a treatment that is becoming more popular at all of the facilities.
And I'd like for you to speak to overcoming the stigma of that treatment.
Right.
I mean, you know what I'm saying.
Right.
I mean, people look at this image of 40 years ago, and I mean, it is a accepted practice of therapy now,
it,
right?
It is. We actually have 4 psychiatrists that do it at Peachford. We do it 4 days a week, and it's non-invasive. We have it inpatient and outpatient. So the outpatient, you're coming in, you're in your street clothes. There's it's a 15-second procedure. You get a light sedation. We have anesthesiologists that are on staff. And, you know, it depends on what's recommended, but some patients will start 2 or 3 times a week, and then they'll move down to a slower process, so they're doing once a week and then once a month just to help maintain.
What kind of outcomes do you see? Like, what is the issue, and then what is the outcome after doing it for a while?
I wish that there were more studies, and I think they are accumulating more studies. I know at Peachford that our success rate's about 25% mm-hmm. of those that we can actually follow, because a lot of times once people feel better, they don't see them.
Right.
You don't see them. So, you know, we see that the treatment really does work, and families see a difference. We had actually a woman who was a managed care company who, her mother was severely depressed and wasn't working. She was really concerned about ECT, and after 2 weeks of treatment, she just saw the changes in her mother, and she was so incredibly surprised at the outcome and how happy she was that her mother was treated. We've also done with some adolescents. We had an adolescent who had an eating disorder, and she would go over to Children's Healthcare to get hydration during the week. She'd come back and do ECT, and after a few weeks, she actually started eating, and her parents thought, you know, wow.
So is there a sweet spot for types of behavior that it works?
You know, typically they use it for someone who has that ongoing depression. That's the number one use for ECT. One of our psychiatrists, Dr. Aleem, who's our medical director, said if he ever becomes depressed, don't give me meds, don't make me a pill popper, just start me on ECT. So,
And I concur. I mean, I can see in our population, I know specifically of cases that for depression, it is a common course of treatment.
It is.
Yeah. Boy, you look at the time. Look where we are. This is great. Let me ask you another question.
Sure.
Tell give me the elevator speech of why Peachford. What is it that you all do well?
Well, that's a good question. There's so much that we do well. I think really it's going to be the experience. We have a staff that's incredibly experienced. They've been here for several years. They're on the cutting edge of medication management. The whole team works really well together, and I think that's what Peachford is so unique, is we have this team approach. Our social workers get involved. Our case managers get involved. Our utilization gets involved. Physicians, nurses, we meet daily to talk about every single patient that's at Peachford. So every morning we meet as a team. We discuss the coming and going, how was the family session? How is the medications? Are they working? Do we need to change the meds? Do we need to decrease them? Do we need to increase them? What's the plan? Where are they going once they come to Peachford? So I think it's just that whole approach of, you know, it's not just a physician directing what's happening with this patient. It's the case managers who are seeing that patient on a regular basis. They're working with the family. So I think it's the team approach that Peachford has, and just that we've been here for over 40 years.
Now, can you share a little bit about, if I have a parent that I'm thinking about working with you guys.
Sure.
What is that? I mean, that's nerve-wracking. You can imagine the stress. I'm sure you deal with it regularly. Can you kind of just walk me through what that looks like to maybe paint a picture so it isn't as scary as maybe I've imagined it to be?
Yeah, I can. How would I convince my loved one that we need to use Peachford? I
mean, that's a hard question, and it's sometimes not a question that we can help with. Sometimes we need to get enforcement involved. The 911 sometimes has to come and intervene. Sometimes it's taking them to a hospital. We have a mobile assessment team that goes into several of the facilities in the Atlanta area, let's say Northside Hospital. They have a loved one that doesn't want to get the help. They say, we're just going to go to the emergency room because I think maybe you need to get your blood pressure checked. When they get there, they say they want a psych evaluation. My team will come in and do that evaluation. If you have someone that's more amenable, you can bring them directly to Peachford. We try to get as many people directly to Peachford to avoid that delay in getting care at an ER. Sometimes they're there for 12 hours. Psych sometimes is considered the redheaded stepchild when it comes to the emergency room. Patients are called gomers. Get out of my ER. They want vehicular accidents. They want trauma. They want heart attacks. The psych, what they can't see sometimes are things that they don't like to. So basically getting someone to Peachford can be difficult, but if you can just get them there, then we do a full evaluation completely free, figure out what's going on, get input from the family, and then get a course of treatment, whether it's, you know, a few days at Peachford to look at med management is probably a great idea. Let's look at what they're on, maybe make some changes. Or they need outside counseling. They need to get connected with a therapist and a psychiatrist out in the community. We will recommend who they could see and who treats the senior adult population, whether, you know, getting some support from their church or some other outside agencies is something that we will help coordinate as well.
But would you be open to having a conversation with the child of an elderly parent to give them some tips and strategies to help them?
We do that all the time. We're 24/7. We function like an emergency room. We never close. And so we get calls at all hours asking, you know, I've got someone in crisis. What do I do? I'm not sure how to get them there. I don't know if they're going to come willingly. We'll even send an ambulance to someone's house and bring them to Peachford. So we will work with whatever constraints that family is working with to make sure that that person's getting out of the crisis that they're currently in.
And that's what you specialize in.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, what Erica was speaking of is, again, representative of what, where we've been from the medical standpoint. We're an acute healthcare system, and we do very well when there's a high accidents or acute issues such as heart attack. We take care of that. But when you talk about long-term lifestyle issues, we don't do a very good job at that at all.
Once a senior adult actually gets to Peachford and we monitor them, that, you know, they see a psychiatrist every single day. So they're managing the medications. And we have, the way the senior adult population is separated, we have a high and a low functioning. So someone who can really participate in groups, they will have in the high functioning. In the lower functioning, if maybe they're not as mobile, will be in that side of our wing. We do a lot of sensory stimulation with the elder population, you know, where they're touching and they're feeling. One thing that they love to do is they like to take an orange and they smell the orange and then you peel the orange and you taste the orange. And it's all those sensory and those memories that, oh gosh, that orange, it tastes so good. And, you know, we do all kind of activities with them so that they kind of stimulate. We do sit and be fit. We're doing activities in the chair where they can have exercise daily. We have a meditation garden where they can actually go out and do gardening if they'd like. So we try to, you know, get them once they leave Peachford better than where they came from.
That's great. That's great. Well, I'm going to allow, is there anything, the time has flown, so I'm going to ask you, is there anything that you'd like to cover that we have not addressed?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Then I'm going to ask you, to the best of your ability, if I were to say, I have a loved one who I think has some issues, but I need to convince them that we need to use Peachford or seek help. What can I say? If that were you, how would you deliver that message if you could?
You know, that's hard because I've had to do that with friends. And I think it's getting everyone that loves that person engaged in their care and saying, we love you. We care about you. We want to make sure that you can live the rest of your life as comfortably as you can. There is a facility that has years of experience. The physicians are kind. They're experts in senior adults. And we want to take you there for an evaluation. And we will be engaged in your care. We are there for you. And we will help in every step of the way. It can be a scary place.
Yeah, and I hear and certainly understand the difficulty that you have answering that, and so you know the difficulty that the layperson
right.
does. It's a tough situation.
And there's no doubt people come there unwillingly, yeah. and that's where the 1013 process comes in. If we feel like they are not safe to leave our facility, that they're going to harm themselves or someone else, we will put them there under 1013 so we can monitor their behavior and make sure that they're safe.
That's great. Well, the time has flown.
And yeah, you, thank you.
I told you this would be very easy, and we certainly appreciate it. Let me ask you for contact information.
Sure.
If someone does want to reach out to you personally or to Peachford, how can they do that?
We are 24/7 number is 770-454-2302. That's directly into our intake department. They can answer any questions in terms of how to get an assessment, whether or not the insurance company that they have will cover the stay at Peachford, all that basic information, set up an appointment. My information is on our website, which is peachford.com. And there's a lot of information on there on scales and depression scales and warning signs. So that's a good host of information for individuals, with a lot of links to the Alzheimer's Association and other agencies that can give support as well.
Great. Let's give me the telephone number one more time.
Sure. It's 770-454-2302.
Okay. Erica, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great show. Great information.
I appreciate being here.
And again, as I did before we began the broadcast, I want to invite you back. If there's any other issues that you would like to bring to light, we would love having you as a guest.
Thank you. I appreciate that and look forward to it.
Thank you for being with us today. That's it for today. We want to remind everyone that they can always go to our website and listen to the rebroadcast of today's show at eugeriaradio.com. And as we always do, we want to close and say that if the youth of this nation is its greatest national treasure, I told you we would make a mistake. He'll edit all this out. If the youth of this nation is its greatest natural resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you and God bless.
Thank you.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.